Classic Business Retirement.
Time for tonight's retirement feature on Classic Business, brought to you by Investec Asset Management. We all know about the low savings rate in South Africa and how few of us actually are able to retire comfortably, around 6% according to the numbers. The big questions are, why is this? And also, what can be done about it? And who can we blame? Whose fault is it? Well, Lister Mainties of Invest Securities has been doing the numbers, and he's in studio to help us answer some of the burning questions. Evening, Lister.
Good evening, Michael.
You recently put this to a conference in Zambia, this point of what is a pension or a retirement fund and who bears the investment risk? What was the response like?
Well, again, it's surprising. I didn't get a good answer from anyone, but by answering asking different trustees and going around, they finally came to the better solution, which, of course, I maintain, and we're going to talk about, isn't true, and that is that it is designed to help people retire comfortably. That's the objective. And I just want to give this little story as well. We'll come back to your question in a minute. But, you know, there's a famous saying in marketing that when you're in a swamp and the water is right up to your nostrils and the crocodiles are coming at you from all sides, it's difficult to remember that the original plan was to drain the swamp. And I get the same feeling of our retirement fund industry, where there's so many problems, they forget that original objective is designed to help people in their old age. They're much more concerned with what's happening in the fund now and how did our investment performance go against benchmark and how did it go against the peers. And the poor old pensioners are not being looked after well, in my opinion.
Why is fund performance, when we're often told about fund performance, a myth in the context of the DC funds that don't pay their own pensions?
Well, here's the point. In the old days, the employer or the sponsor used to put a fund together because they had undertaken to pay a certain percentage of salary, probably based on years of service, for the rest of your life. So they were taking on that challenge. So what the fund in total, which really, you know, was part of one unit, did was important. But nowadays, if you're a member of a pension fund, you get credited each month to your savings with what it did in that month. So somebody near retirement has a lot of assets which are affected by what the fund did, and they very little on what their contributions are. But somebody young, it has got very few assets, he gets the monthly performance on each of his contributions. And I can show you in a spreadsheet that it's considerably different depending on age and the assets that you started with. And so to talk about fund performance is not good, but it's the one thing that trustees can look at and say, how did it do?
And you do need to be able to measure your performance. So as an alternative, what would you recommend?
No, well, two things. Firstly, as a fund, obviously it must do as well as it can, but there's a second caveat to this, and that is that a number of funds experience quite high turnover in their membership. Mm. The end result is that they don't want somebody who resigns or leaves at 1 month end and has had the same track record as somebody else getting less. So they're more conservative, in my opinion, than they should be. In fact, I keep telling people, the lower things go, the better, while you are saving. The converse is true when you are withdrawing. Yeah. So it's most important that people understand dissaving and saving.
And the myth as well of the so-called net replacement ratio.
Well, I hear about this often, and I keep watching when I see the trustees get this report. And there's a brilliant scatter plot, and, you know, those below the line aren't going to make it, and those above the line are going to make it, and all sorts of things. But the key point is that your net replacement ratio is whatever assets you have in the fund now, plus your future contributions, escalated perhaps in terms of a salary, but also escalated in terms of a return, and then what will you be able to buy as a pension when you get there? Well, I don't know what interest rates will be in 20 years' time, so that's a bit of a guess.
There are many assumptions here, Lister.
Oh, wow, that's the whole point. You have to make assumptions, and in fact, that's why we're having this discussion. Many of them have proved to be wrong. And what I keep saying to many people is that, you know, applying past mortality and past interest rate and past inflation assumptions is like somebody looking out of the back window of a car trying to draw a map of where we're going.
Yeah.
It doesn't work well. And so as we started, it didn't end well either. But if we can, I think the biggest problem, and it comes about many times, and I'll try to give solutions as well. We have very limited time to cover a topic as broad as this, but I intend to go as far as I can. But the two big problems for pensioners, the number one is inflation. While you're working, you're pretty well inflation-proofed just because of employment and the way companies operate, and because if they don't, you'll move on to another company. So you get inflation increases even if you're not getting promotions, but you also probably get some promotions in between. So you're pretty well protected while you work. The day you stop working and now you're on pension, either you've got to buy an inflation-proof pension, which turns out to be a rather low pension to start with.
That's the price you're paying for the guarantee.
But if you have the take the risk yourself and say, well, I'll manage this money. Gosh, you know, here I've got this R1 million and I get 10% on that. That's R100,000 a year. That's quite nice. Thank you. And I'm just using these numbers as illustrations.
They're nice round numbers. Yeah.
But then, oh, goodness me, it's lovely for everybody else, but it turns out inflation goes down. So next year you only get 7%. That means that you have to chew into at least 30,000 between 70,000 that you get and 100,000. But the 100 has gone up. Although inflation has gone down, prices have risen. So what the problem is that inflation is a rate of change. When inflation goes to zero, don't think prices go to zero. Unfortunately, they just don't go down. So that's part of the problem, and I've got a spreadsheet.
And as inflation goes down, the interest rate tends to follow it down as well.
Well, that's the point I'm making. So, in fact, one of the worst enemies that somebody who's and has a specific lifestyle, taking a lot of money right at the beginning, unfortunately will run out of that money quite quickly. I've got a spreadsheet that'll show this. Any interested listener can get hold of me, either through you or through my email, liston@liston.co.za. I'm happy to share it with them and discuss the story. But so that's part of it. The next problem, of course, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending which side of it you're on, is that we're living longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's very bad news for people who are granting annuities and did it on the wrong base. And I promise you, very few annuity funds are making money at this stage because people are living longer. So, again, the calibration of the mortality tables tends to take place with hindsight.
So you're working, 45 years and generally now living at least 25 years after retirement. You made the point that if we just push that retirement date out from 65 to 70, say, we have a 10-year swing.
Yes.
Effectively. And that really can make a massive difference. And this is a conversation that's happening all over the world. Should we be raising the retirement age?
Well, again, you see the reaction to ideas like that. And again, you can understand it. Somebody's been planning to retire at 65. He gets to 65 and they say, no, sorry, you've got to work another 5 years, depending on his state of health. I think society has got to adjust, and we can deal with that in another forum, I should think. But, you know, this is the problem, that people are living longer. So the end result is that at some stage, but I just want to give another lovely idea, which I picked up while I was in New Zealand. And the person said that when you're in retirement, there are three phases. And the first one is called live it up. You've just retired. You want to go and see the kids in Canada. You've bought a new car. You've probably put down, you know, new furnishings in the house. It's live it up. And that may last a good 5 years, and depending how much you have, it may last longer. But then you get to the fix-it-up stage, and that's the stage two called fix-it-up. And that can be that, you know, the car needs repairs or needs replacement. The carpets definitely need replacing, and your hip probably needs replacing. So, you know, fix it
up. Pension is inflation.
Absolutely. And then, unfortunately, and I think most people know this, and we pretend and hope that it doesn't happen to us. It's what we call the wind it down phase. And the wind it down is where you're possibly having to go into frail care, you're moving around in a wheelchair, all sorts of problems come to you. And that's why when I talk about pensioner inflation, it isn't. That's another myth. The story is it's each has their own inflation rate and it gets steadily worse as you age. So save as much as you can, but don't leave it in the bank. Thank you.
Listen, Main, she's portfolio manager at Invest Securities, for packing the most into a 10-minute retirement feature that I think I've ever done on this show, brought to you by Investec Asset Management. You can visit investecassetmanagement.com/livingannuities.